We are going to go ahead and get started with our media availabilities for today. We're now joined by our defending race winner, Bubba Wallace. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we will get a mic over to you. We'll start here in the front with Roy, and then we'll go to Zach.
Thank you, Bubba. Roy Akers, Skyview Sports. Last year after you won the race, you talked about how fatherhood had helped change you, your attitude and that. What's winning the race in the last year done for you? Have you?
I mean, it's honestly allowed you to truly focus on being a dad and being a husband when you're home and helping out. You know, Amanda and I have been, I feel like, crushing life ever since our kids were born, and it's been a lot of fun. We've had our ups and downs, as every parent does, and yeah, it's just, you know, we've had a lot of bad weekends this year, and to be able to go home and wake up the next morning and wake up with Bex, he's excited to see you no matter if you won or lost. So and when you truly embrace those moments, and I know we say that it's like a dog, right? You know, they're just happy to see you, but when you can, you know, feed off their energy and latch onto that, it's special. So it's been great, but don't get me wrong, it's a lot of work.
We'll go to Zach.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Bubba, walking back into this place, you know, you've come back to tracks where you've won before, but mm-hmm. this being the crown jewel win on your career, right, on your resume right now, mm-hmm. And the history that this place has, did it feel any different when you got here this year?
Yeah, it did, honestly. I told Charles, you know, when I got off the plane and walked to the FBO, you know, it was like retracing steps. You know, you were leaving the racetrack, but now you were walking back in, and you remembered, you know, the FBO, you remembered, you know, getting in the car and all the right turns to make, although I did miss a turn. But it actually worked out. The next street that I took, I was just heading to the track, and you could write with my banner. So I thought that was pretty cool. My wife and I enjoyed that. But yeah, just being back in here, you know, I wish it was as easy as, you know, copy and pasting, but it's not, clearly, as I go banging off the fence on lap 1.5. So, yeah, it's just, it's really cool to be here. I've always enjoyed Indy for whatever reason. We've, you know, we've had really good finishes here in the Cup car. Just always a lot of speed, always clean execution races. So, just looking forward to the opportunity tomorrow.
We're going to come right here in the middle.
Hey, Bubba, it's Ben Johnston with paddockeye.com. Coming here as the reigning like race winner, what do you think you're going to need to do today in terms of qualifying with the weather kind of very different compared to what it was last year?
Yeah, definitely overcast day to day. You know, it still matters about execution and getting a really good lap. It's really, really hard to pass here. And so I think, you know, we really started out on the right foot last year, qualifying on the front row, giving ourselves a great opportunity for great pit selection. All those things add up to a really good race. And so you try not to put too much pressure on yourself or your team, but you do want to have a really good lap and execute all four corners. So, yeah, I think the success starts today.
Excellent. And in terms of the car, is it like, do you treat each corner differently, or is it like just one big track?
Yeah, I mean, one and three are relatively close, and 2 and 4 are relatively close. So you're kind of splitting it up in two different ways. But it's a big momentum track, so you are doing things differently in the car, although some of the corners are the same. Nothing's really ever the same.
We're going to come right here in the middle.
Bob Wallace, this is Andrew Kim for SpewMedia.com. We come into this weekend at Indianapolis, one of 5 regular season events remaining before the chase starts. And coming off your strong recent runs that you've been having, how confident and poised are you, especially when you look at Indianapolis this weekend and your remaining races ahead, as you look to make the chase this year?
Yeah, really, really confident. I mean, the last 3 weeks, take away the penalty at Atlanta. I mean, we're looking at three top tens in a row. So I'm happy with that, with the way that the previous months have gone up and down. But yeah, it's something that, you know, we take a lot of pride in the people that we bring to the racetrack, and the people that we bring are building really fast race cars. And so that makes it a little bit easier, although there's nothing easy about the sport. But we have the cars and the people that are capable each and every weekend. So for us, it's more pressure on the drivers to just go out and deliver. And, you know, that motivates you just to go out and push hard and trust the process. And we're not where we want to be by any means, but I think we're in a decent spot to continue to march forward.
We're going to come in the back to Zion and then over to Lee.
Zion Brown, Indianapolis Star. Just another question about the weather, Bubba. With temperature today, it's supposed to be, I think, almost 15 degrees warmer tomorrow. Just how would that have to change your setup despite whatever happens in qualifying kind of overnight?
Yeah, I think qualifying is qualifying. You change your setup for qualifying purposes in general. And so you kind of go back to yesterday. How much hotter is it going to be than yesterday's practice? I think the temperatures are pretty close to today and yesterday. So even with it being hotter, you will have to make minor adjustments. But we look at those things well in advance. We have a great group of people that look at those things and keep us, you know, up to date on, you know, what the track temp's going to do, how's that going to affect our setups and all those things. So we shouldn't get caught by surprise by the temperature increase. We need to be ready for it.
I'm going to come down here to Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Bubba, can you explain how precarious it is coming down pit road and allowing your teammates the initial space or the appropriate space they need to execute a top pit stop?
Yeah, Indy's probably one of the most treacherous pit roads that we come to. Obviously, seen a lot of stack-ups and a lot of damaged race cars from people just losing focus for a split second. It doesn't take much. We've seen pit crew members get hurt. It's very narrow. The boxes are super long. And so you can generally get your spacing and your car position somewhat close to what you need with how long the boxes are. But it's just the narrow pit road itself causes a lot of problems. There's really no room to escape. So when you're at pit road speed and you have say you're too wide and somebody else is merging out, like, there's got to be some give and take. And I think understanding how sensitive these cars are and how tough it is to pass, you don't want to damage your chances with any nicks or any bumps in the body for aero purposes. So it's something that's definitely in the back of our mind. We talk about these things as we get prepped for Indy.
Yeah, tell Mark what's with Speedway Digest. Just kind of a fun question. You know, there's a lot of talk about Hollywood, the remake of a movie with NASCAR. But if they made a movie about Bubba Wallace, who would play Bubba Wallace?
Who would play?
Who would play you?
Well, if they paid enough, I'd play myself. I don't know. That'd be interesting. I don't know. That's not something that I lay in bed thinking about. So I can't answer that.
Now you can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, I'll come back to you on that.
Okay. We'll go over here to the left to Reed.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. You talked about seeing your banner out there on the grandstand. What did that feel like, seeing that up there next to a lot of the other great champions that have come through the sport?
Yeah, it's cool. It's special. I just went through the NASCAR post of every winner from, you know, 94 was the first one, I think. Yeah. And to be on that list, it's like I said last year, unbelievable. But I kind of contradict myself because, like I said in our video that we released yesterday, it starts with believing in yourself and believing in your team. And so when I say unbelievable, I don't really know if that's the right word, but it kind of feels right in the moment. But just thankful for the opportunity, thankful for the career that I've had. It's been a blessing each and every weekend. You never know what cards are going to be dealt, but you put on your poker face and you go play it the best that you can. And sometimes you end up winning. And there's before having kids, there was no greater feeling than winning. And that comes to a close second now that I have kids.
We'll come over here to Deb.
Deb Williams, All Week. Bubba, to kind of expand on that a little bit, when someone mentions the Brickyard 400 to you and your win, what is the first memory that comes to your mind? What's the biggest memory about that day?
Just winning. I know that's a very, very boring answer, but winning in the regular season, something I had never done with my previous two wins. That allowed you to just unlock a new way of thinking inside the race car. The next 4 weeks after our Brickyard win, I didn't really care how we finished because I knew we were in the playoffs, as to where the previous 8 years, you were fighting and clawing all the way to Daytona. And it was stressful. At these times, every year prior, I'd be stressed out and trying to make the most of it, trying to go for stage points, put yourself in bad spots. And with the Indy win, that allowed you just to kind of drop your shoulders a little bit and enjoy being in the race car, enjoy the really good days, learn from the bad days. It was something that I feel like has contributed to just another level of speed for us in the 23 group this year. The biggest memory is just winning. It unlocked a Pandora's box, I guess.
Come over here to Dustin.
Dustin, let me know, J-Ski. Bubba, Tyler came in yesterday. I was pretty frustrated with the speed that he had yesterday. I know you bounced off the wall, but how did you feel like practice went?
Yeah, I thought we were fine. Obviously not ideal to jeopardize your car potentially, but we're after going through tech and scans last night and everything, and the car's fine. We're basically how we unloaded. So we were able to get back out on track, and it did kind of throw things into a frenzy for us. And I feel like in those moments, you kind of find out who your true selves are. And I thought we handled practice the best way we could. Learned a lot. I thought our second run of the day was way better than the feedback that I gave it at that time. We weren't at the top of the board. Five Toyotas were. And so aside from the legacy cars, we know what the other Toyotas have. And so when we don't have the speed necessarily to start off, I'm not throwing in the towel. I know the adjustments that we have that are available and that we can get to where we need to be. So, I looked at last year as well. We were 14th in practice, right? No one was freaking out. So we're okay.
Go in the back to Crash.
Crash Gladys with Speed Freaks. You mentioned the Brickyard 400 as a crown jewel, and clearly this is hallowed ground in the automotive space, in motorsports in general.
Yep.
Kyle Petty made a comment yesterday that there's no way this could be a crown jewel. I'm paraphrasing him, of course.
Right.
Because you bring it on in the 90s, it doesn't have enough history yet, is basically where he was going. How do you consider this a crown jewel?
Yeah, I mean, for me, honestly, I just call me a bandwagoner, I guess. For me, ever since being in the sport, I always knew the crown jewels. We talked about it. We publicize of what crown jewels there are. Daytona 500, Coke 600, Brickyard 400, and the Southern 500. Like that's all that's talked about, right? And so I'm just like, okay, but. For me, even after winning the Brickyard, like I've always said in interviews, like really don't care about the history and not in a negative way. Like for me, this is just another race. And if I have the opportunity to win the other three crown jewels, they're just another race to me. And that's just how I've always kind of gone about life, right? And I just kind of said they were crown jewels because everybody else did.
We're going to come over here to Dalton.
Hey, Bubba. Dalton Hopkins, the front stretch.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't know if it was raining or not.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah.
Along those lines, there's been the debate of race length
has resurfaced the last couple of days. So can you expand on that? I mean, there's no argument on shortening any cup races?
I mean, we'd like to. I thought North Wilkesboro was super long. 450 laps there, for whatever reason, was just it felt really long, which it was. But I heard clips of Larson's interview, and we've always said it, like, attention spans nowadays are not the same as what they used to be, right? And we are big on tradition and history, and you know, well, this is how it was when it started, so we got to keep it the same. Well, then you're pressed against the wall when these kind of questions pop up, you know, in today's age, because it's like, okay, well, no one wants to sit there for 3 hours, 3.5 hours and watch a race. What are you going to do? Well, the answer is oftentimes nothing. We're going to keep it and deal with it. And, okay, I mean, for me, the race is 6 hours long. All right, I'll be in the car for 6 hours. It's fine. But is it long? Yes. And so, look, I think I don't know how to go about it and shorten up the distances and whatnot, but I think Ben Kennedy said it with the Barstool guys, right? Like, it was like man versus machine when they started out, and like which car could last the longest, which driver could last the longest, and we would praise that. Well, every car should go the distance, and every driver should go the distance. You know, we're not drinking six packs and smoking cigarettes in the car, you know. So we have, you know, a great team of professional people to help us stay in the best physical and mental shape. And so it's more frowned upon when you don't, you know, go the distance, right? And so, yeah, it's something that has evolved. And so I don't know where that conversation will go, above my pay grade. But if they drop a six-hour race on the schedule, guess what? As long as I have a ride, I'll be doing a six-hour race.
We'll take a final question from Steven.
Steven Toronto, NASCAR pole position. Bubba, just going off of that earlier question about the movies, I guess, do you have any specific thoughts on the reports that Days of Thunder 2 has gotten the green light and seems to be going into production?
Yeah, I've never seen the first one. Kidding. I'm not Sebo. Yeah. No, I think it's cool. You know, I'm a big movie guy. I enjoy watching all the classics, the cult classics, whatever you call it. And so I feel like when the stuff from the 90s or whatever gets remastered, remade, like it follows like the way society is now, you got to have the jokes in there to make it not so inappropriate, and it just kind of loses its luster. So I hope it's a great film. I hope they, you know, stick to, you know, racing and not making a mockery of the sport, which it didn't. The original one didn't. So yeah, I think it's exciting to have new era racing. I just hope it's portrayed in the best way and not too gimmicky is the right word.
And a lot of the way that they made things authentic in the first film was having the movie cars out there, yeah, along with the field. Would you be interested in doing that if NASCAR and Paramount want to do that, or would you?
Brother, we can't even have motorized scooters on the track, so let alone other cars. I'm all for it. I don't see it happening, though.
Thanks, Bubba.
No problem.
All right, Bubba, thanks for your time. Good luck this weekend.
No problem.